Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Redington (India) Limited Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involves risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Shankar, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of Redington (India) Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you who have joined us on this call. I wish to apologize right at the outset that the board meeting took a little longer today than usual, and therefore we could not upload the earnings results and the deck in good time. However, I'm given to understand that as we just speak, the deck has been uploaded, though I do realize that most of you would not have had an opportunity to be able to see those results. Allow me to share one of the best performances of Redington in its entire history. Q4 for us, FY 2021, was one of the best quarters, and FY 2021 has been the best year so far. Very quickly to share with you these results, the revenue for the fourth quarter grew by 23% at a consolidated level. The EBITDA grew by 77%, and the profit after tax by 154%. Now, the good news is both the theaters, that is both India and as well as overseas, have pulled off some exceptionally good numbers. Just to share with you, in India, which includes the distribution business and the ProConnect business, our revenues grew by 45%, EBITDA by 142%, and the profit after tax by almost 935%. Of course, this is on the back of Q4 of FY 2020, when we faced some serious challenges in our ProConnect logistics business and consequently had to suffer some losses. Notwithstanding that, the ProConnect business this year, both for the quarter and for the full year, as committed to all of you, has done well. Before I get there, the India distribution business very quickly grew by 46% on the top line and 135% on the bottom line. The overseas business likewise has grown by 10% on the top line and by 51% on EBITDA and by 70% on the bottom line. This is notwithstanding the fact that the Singapore and South Asia business, as you would know, we had already shared with you, had to suffer some loss of business as more and more vendors have moved their business from what we would call as a dollar-denominated business into India from Singapore, has now become a rupee business. To that extent, while our Singapore operations may have suffered a loss on that account, I'm glad to share with you that our India business has managed to pick up a good part of that business. Now, while both the theaters have done well if for a moment I look at from the point of view of our two important industry verticals. One is IT and the other is mobility. Both have registered a strong double-digit growth, 14% on IT, 41% on mobility business. The one that is most gratifying is the fact that our working capital at a consolidated level was at an all-time low of 12 working capital days. And interestingly, India's net working capital days was 15. Overseas, the lowest ever in its entire history at 10 days, allowed us to have the consolidated working capital at 12 days. This is, as you would know, when you compare it with Q4 of FY20, it was 30 days, and therefore there is an 18 days reduction as far as working capital is concerned. This has certainly helped us to generate an operating cash flow for Q4 alone of 613 crores and a free cash flow of 596 crores. The other most, gratifying part is both on the return on capital employed and return on equity. We've always wanted to give a return north of 20%. For Q4, I'm pleased to share with you that our ROCE was about 71% and our return on equity was a little shy of 26%. As we had done through this entire pandemic year, we have managed our debt to equity at enviably good levels. Our net debt to net equity is negative 0.58. So in other words, we have cash surplus of north of 3,000 crores. As far as our provision towards inventory and bad debt, I'm again pleased to share with you, we have managed it very well and within norms. The other part is when you look at ProConnect, as I was telling you, for this Q4, we generated 129 crores of revenue, which represented a 36% growth, year on year, with an EBITDA of 14.8 crores and a PAT of 6.9 crores. This PAT of 6.9 would represent rough and ready about 5%. Now, as you look at the full financial year, I'm again pleased to share with you that all the numbers have grown impressively, very quickly at a consolidated level. Revenue has grown by 11%, EBITDA by 34%, and profit after tax by 47%. I hasten to add here that the profit after tax actually had grown by 64% if you were to take into account the fact that we had to pay 89 crores that all of you would remember towards the gift tax case. But I am pleased to share with you that we applied through the VSV scheme. The application was accepted and we have settled the payment, and therefore from our standpoint, the matter stands settled. So I repeat again, if we don't reckon this 89 crores, our profit growth would have been 64%. Now, similarly, when you look at both India and overseas, both have done exceptionally well. India's revenue grew by 22% for the full year, EBITDA by 34%. Profit after tax by 77%. But again, if you don't reckon this 89 crores, our profit growth would have been a triple digit at 141%. Similarly, overseas has done very well, though their revenue has grown by a modest 4%, but EBITDA grew by 35% and the profit after tax by 36%. So it's again been an all-rounded improvement, in terms of the full year performance. Like for the quarter, even for the full year, IT grew by 6%, mobility grew by 20%. Now, all of you would know that Q1 for us in FY21 was a degrowth both in top and bottom line. And therefore, if we have grown for the year, be it at a consolidated level or at India level or at overseas level, this is after taking into account the setback that we suffered in Q1. Now, when you look at the working capital for the full year, I'm again very pleased to share that at a consolidated level, we managed to beat it down to 14 working capital days, which was 31 for last year, and hence a 17 days reduction year over year. Both India and overseas have done very well. India was 17 net working capital days and overseas was 12. Similarly, from a free cash flow point of view, we have generated for FY21 about 3,350 crores, and our operating cash flow was a little shy of 3,500 crores. Again, for the full year, from a ROCE point of view, it was 36.5%, and the return on equity was 18.4% if you consider the net debt, but otherwise it is 16.4%. Now, ProConnect for the full year turned over about 458 crores at 47 crores of EBITDA. This represents approximately about a little shy of 8%. A little upwards of 10%, my apologies. And the profit after tax was 8.3 crores, which is a little shy of 2%. But I still want to jog your memory. When we had a setback for last year in FY20 on ProConnect, we did commit to you that we will, in FY21, consolidate the business, correct the business, and bring in a certain amount of reorganization, all of which we have done, and we are now set this company back on a growth path starting FY22 and beyond. Now, this is to give you a quick flavor. As far as the way forward is concerned, I am honestly feeling excited on one hand with regard to the opportunities and on the back of a strong performance that we have had in FY21. We believe there are several growth drivers for us, and we will continue to execute very well. I think the company has demonstrated a strong resilience, a high adversity quotient, and as a part of our strategy in the way forward, we plan, as we always told you, to pivot the company into more and more of a services company. And if I were to take the cloud business in isolation, I'm a little pleased to share with you that we have actually grown our cloud business by around, we have taken it to about 1,000 crores. And if you look at the growth year on year, this is, of course, India and overseas, we have grown by over 53%. So overall, the outlook seems very positive. And when you look at a three-year strategic plan that we have, we certainly believe that we would be in a much better position to create a bigger value and make this and continue to deliver on a profitable growth. I also want to take this opportunity to share with you that we have reinforced our leadership team by bringing on board Rajiv Srivastava. Of course, we made the announcement. He joined us on the 2nd of April, and he's joined us as a joint managing director and would also sit on the board of the company. And we believe having someone like him with his pedigree can only help this company as we think in terms of pivoting it into and taking advantage of all the digital investments and the digital transformation that the industry is poised to invest. And we believe that we have a great opportunity to participate in that growth. With this, I'll take a pause and hand it over back to you for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Pavan from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Raj. I don't normally say congratulations on a great set of numbers. I don't actually think I've ever said that in my entire career as a professional investor. But, you know, after a quarter and year like this, I'm forced to say congratulations on a great set of numbers. You know, 3 years ago, you told me following Mr. Srinivasan was a bit like following Sachin Tendulkar. Well, this year certainly has seen you put up a performance worthy of Virat Kohli. So many congratulations and thank you from all of us. Let me get into the questions.
I just want to say, I want to acknowledge by saying thank you. Coming from you, it's the biggest compliment we would have ever received. So we will guard it so preciously. Back to you.
Well, so the questions are, you know, number one, I think one thing we've all always appreciated is the prudence and conservatism with which you've guided. Obviously, this quarter and this year have seen a number of sort of one-offs. So I'd be very curious to get color on what you actually think the realistic pace of growth for us could be over the next couple of years. And specifically on the headwinds and tailwinds that might affect that, right? So obviously in the short term, we may see a cutback in discretionary consumption. You know, does e-commerce have any sort of impact? Are we finally seeing a kicker on the enterprise side, which has been surprisingly slow for several years? If you could give us some color on cloud, you know, several of your customers and, you know, even competitors have pointed out that Redington and Ingram are superbly placed to actually be the channel through which the small and medium-sized Indian enterprises migrate to the cloud. And that often isn't highlighted enough in our communication and investor interactions. So it would be good to get a little bit of color on that. So putting all this together, putting in what you think the Middle East would do, what India would do, what is an actual realistic pace of growth, and what are the things that might move it above or below what you expect it to be? Second, was very pleased to see the high dividend this year. I think one wonderful thing about paying out high dividends when you have extra cash is you earn the credibility with investors to be able to reinvest that cash when you need to reinvest it. So we know when you're putting the capital to work, it's really because you're seeing seeing excellent opportunities. And would very much like to get your sense on how the dividend policy, et cetera, you know, is likely to evolve going forward. So those were really the two questions. You know, any color you could give on both those aspects would be greatly appreciated.
Pawan, many thanks for your question. It is my bad that an important announcement like the dividend I forgot to mention as a part of my narrative. So I can't tell you how overjoyed we are to, you know, sort of give a 60% dividend to our shareholders. Thank you for your continued faith in us and continuing to invest in us. The way we think about it is, as all of you know, our stated policy in the past as far as dividend is concerned is 20% on the profits of the company. Though, if you look at the last 5 years, we have actually given 33%. Though this would include dividend, it would include the special dividend that we gave upon completion of a decade in the capital market. It would also include the buyback. So, but having said that, now we are stepping it up and saying that on a steady state, all other things being equal, on a normal basis, we would want to give a 40% dividend. And of course, this year, because it was an exceptionally good year, we thought we wanted to give a special dividend of 20%, taking the total to 60%. Now to your question, Pawan. First, you made a mention about enterprise. I just thought, let me give you one perspective. In India, for Q4, our IT business grew by something like 41%. This is Q4. And if you break it down between enterprise and consumer IT, enterprise grew by 23%. And within IT, it now, for Q4, it contributed to 47%. So the first good news that I want to share with you is we are certainly well poised to be able to scale the enterprise business going forward. Yes, you are right. For the first couple of quarters, it was very soft, but we started to see some recovery in Q3. But Q4, we started to see a much better momentum. And as I look at the way forward, I think the enterprise business is poised for a sustained double-digit growth. And by the way, I also wish to add here that we are also going to invest on the enterprise space, whether it is in terms of getting new skill sets that will help us to drive the services, enterprise services business up. And, you know, that particular business has a much better margin, lower working capital, etc. So you will see all of that play out quite nicely, the way forward. Now, to your question about how do we see growth in the way forward, now, we genuinely believe there is one thing that we have always done, Pawan, and you would know that better than anyone else. We have a mandate within Redington that at all points in time, we have to outperform in that product category for each market that we participate. And I can tell you that with a sense of pride that in each of the larger geographies that we participate, be it India, Middle East, Africa, Turkey, and in each of the product categories, we are growing faster than the industry. So that's number one. That will continue. However, on some categories, we may want to take a cautious outlook purely because we think in some markets, there is a lot of headwind, and the market in particular is Nigeria, where we have decided to slow down our business purely because we see the risk running up. And by the way, we had a degrowth, a significant degrowth in Q4, and whatever numbers that we have shared with you is after taking this impact of degrowth in Nigeria in particular. So first is we will continue to outperform the industry and the market. If the industry is poised to grow at 7-8%, we will grow by at least 2 to 3 points more. And this is something we have done. So that would answer one part of your question. With regard to cloud in particular, Rajiv, would you want to use this opportunity to give some color to this since Pawan wants to have a perspective on at least the way forward?
Yeah, I can. And Pawan, you're familiar that cloud is a place of enormous activity at the moment. And the partners like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft investing heavily in cloud. But also a lot of other, and the way it is getting consumed, a lot of customers in India across the larger, which is the enterprise customers, some workloads shifting to cloud. But a large part of the SMB, to your point earlier that you said, SMB is adopting cloud faster. And that's the reality across the larger cities and towns in India and across, but also in the upcountry market, the cloud is the preferred way to deploy all your capabilities that a small SMB or a mid-sized or upper mid-market customer would do that. And so in that domain, we build skills in our company to help adoption and migration to do three things. One, consultancy. Second, facilitate the whole proposaling to the SMB or to the customer, whoever it is. And then to suggest or support the migration as well between us and a bunch of our capable partners. So our model is obviously going to be a hybrid model, but it allows us to play in the domain where you can do advisory services, you can do migration services, and you can actually make the customer come alive on the cloud. So that part of the business is really exploding in India. You know, cloud worldwide is growing at 20+%. In India, it is growing faster than that. Only about 12 to 15% of the workloads have been migrated to cloud as of now. And the direction is over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, this small percentage, 12 to 15%, should become like 30-35%. So you can see the cloud market doubling over the course of the next couple of years. And if you you're getting feedback that Redington is well poised, clearly it is because the capabilities that we are solidifying in our company to make sure we facilitate the migration and we accelerate the adoption, because that's where the efficiency for all businesses really lies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, congratulations. Let me also wish you that I think this is one of the finest results which we have seen in a long, long time, where there is no negative surprise per se from any of our businesses or a vertical. Just one quick question. Can you just explain us about 2 parts of our business? One, the business which required very limited or no working capital, and a business like ProConnect, which still needs some kind of support and push to take it to the next scale and next size. How we have achieved in our IT business, or how we have kind of reached an inflection point in our cloud business. So if you can give some sense on that business, that will be very, very helpful. That's it from my side, and big congratulations to entire team. It was just one of the awesome quarter and a year we have seen. And thank you for upgrading the payout ratio. We are really delighted with that.
Thank you so much. Really, I'm happy that, you know, investors like you have stayed committed to us, and we feel delighted that we are able to reward you because we have had a good year. Now, if I understood your question well, you are talking about some businesses like distribution, which require a higher working capital deployment, and there are businesses like ProConnect, which may not require as much, and therefore how do we manage that capital deployment? Is that the question? Just to be sure.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to understand going forward. Our distribution business is kind of well aligned, well oiled, and nicely been on an autopilot kind of a mode. So I'm just trying to understand the businesses like ProConnect and new business like cloud. How do you see that taking shape in next 3 to 5 year time horizon? If you can give some color, some big picture, management's vision or things like that, that will be very, very helpful. We do appreciate the size of the opportunity, but at the same time, how do management see this see going forward in a broad sense?
Wonderful. No, wonderful. Thank you for your question. I'll take the ProConnect first. You know, we genuinely at Redington believe that for distribution businesses, amongst other things, there are two fundamental pillars. One is the logistics part, and the other is the ability to give credit and collect money. These two become very fundamental in this business, amongst other things. What Redington has done, and done quite successfully over time, is to be able to build the capability and the proficiency in managing the logistics business. So you would know, until about 6 years ago, we were actually running this entire logistics business as a support function, and the only customer was Redington. We embarked on this idea of getting into a 3PL business, which in the last 6+ years has now grown to about 460 crores in terms of top line. Do we see the opportunity for us to be able to take it to an accelerated pace and take it to a much higher scale? Without a doubt. So we are very clearly committed at Redington to continue to invest to grow and accelerate the pace of growth over the next 3 to 5 years. We have some real big ambitious plan with regard to ProConnect, and you can imagine in a pandemic year to be able to deliver products physically to our various partners on a pan-India basis is the biggest challenge anybody can face. And I can tell you with a tremendous sense of pride that each one of our colleagues have really sacrificed and put their life on the line, in a way of speaking, to have done what they have done during this year. This has given a tremendous confidence to our customers. They are absolutely singing praise for all that we are able to do for them in a difficult year. So we have created a great stickiness. We will continue to invest, and you will see that this business will become, in terms of growth, a force multiplier, both in terms of top and bottom line. The last point, we are very focused on margin, and you would also see that our margin is getting better by the quarter. We are even walking away from businesses which may give us significant revenue, but if it doesn't give us the minimum threshold level of margin, we are ready to walk away from such businesses. In conclusion, logistics industry in India is a very big industry. It is poised for huge growth in the next 5, 10, 15 years. We are committed to really taking our fair share. We are going to continue to invest, grow, and make sure that this becomes a very profitable and a valuable business of Redington. To your question about cloud, Rajiv, again, I look to you to be able to share with Chetan your your point of view.
I think we covered a lot, Chetan, in the earlier answer as well on the cloud piece. And the way cloud is a combination, like I said, of advisory, consultancy, of providing equipment, and also a lot of services around cloud. And sometimes it comes as a one-shot deal, and often the cloud provisioning happens over a period of the next couple of years. So that's the way you will find that the working capital will get deployed, sometimes in full, and sometimes over a course of next 3 years, as the customers decide which route of acquisition is the best route from their perspective. So that's where I would see it, and that's the way the growth in the market is taking place right now. So it's different customers are choosing different routes in the ways of obtaining and provisioning for themselves in the cloud.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
Chetan. Just to supplement what Rajiv said, so that it gives you some perspective. For the quarter, our cloud business, both in India and overseas, grew 37%. For the full year, our cloud business has grown 53% year on year. So the first point I want to make is, this is one business, please keep watching this space. You will see that in the next 3 years, this is going to become one of the promising businesses, which will also become a very profitable and a highly capital efficient business. Thanks, Chetan.
Yeah, so just a supplement to that, you know, most of the time, sir, you are very clear about your ROCE target over a longer term of most of the businesses, and also as a company as a whole. So if you can give your view on both ProConnect and cloud business, what kind of ROCE target you have, and also allow me to take an opportunity to welcome Mr. Rajiv on board and wish him all the best, and hope that he keep taking things much higher and keep increasing our aspirations and expectations. Thank you, and that's it from my side.
I'll give you a short answer. We will deliver both the ROCE in the case of cloud business far higher than what we have delivered thus far as a company. That's my short answer to you. By far, it will be a much higher number.
Thank you, sir. That's it. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening and congratulations once again, echoing what the earlier participants mentioned. Fantastic year and a fantastic quarter. I had really two questions. One was on the working capital front. You know, really this has been the third quarter where working capital has been incredibly well managed. And, you know, in the past, the company has guided for a normal working capital cycle of 30-odd days, and you've achieved 12 to 14 days, I think, three quarters consistently. So my first question was, you know, now that you've achieved this for this period of time, would you like to revise that outlook in terms of working capital, and can we look forward to a lower working capital on a sustainable basis? That was my first question. And my second was in terms of profitability. We've seen really the overseas business where the jump in profitability has been very sharp this year. I think India, if you go back to maybe 2 years back, we are back to where we were in FY20. But when you look at overseas profitability, it's been a sharp improvement. So if you could help us understand what has driven that improvement, and do you think that is once again sustainable? Thank you.
Great. So I'm sure my colleague, Krishnan, who's our CFO, would be dying to answer the first question on the working capital. Krishnan?
Thanks, Mr. Raj. Yes, we have managed the working capital very well consistently in the last four quarters, and we had mentioned in the earlier calls that it may not be sustainable and it will come back, it will settle at about 35 stretch 40 days of working capital. Over a period of time, it will definitely take its course. So it's not going to jump back immediately. But over a period of time, we think we should, on a steady state basis, look at working capital of about 35 stretch 40 days. So that's the way we see about 10 to 11 turns. And wherever there is an opportunity, we will make sure that it is efficiently managed. And that's one of the reasons why we are where we are today. So definitely we will not leave any stone unturned. But having said that, from a steady state perspective, this is how we should think through. Thank you, Mr. Raj.
Okay. Thanks, Krishnan. So the only point that I would want to supplement to what Krishnan said is we have, certainly the pandemic has taught us a lot of lessons on how do we manage capital better? How do we ensure a faster turnaround, whether it is collections, whether it is inventory, whether it's sales? So I think it has taught us a lot. We are finding ourselves much more smarter, much more wiser. So please, I want you to keep this point in mind while Krishnan talked about what, you know, it could probably settle down at in terms of the, you know, when business gets back to its old state. But the fact is, even so, please keep in mind that in the distant past, we used to be 45, 50 days of net working capital. We used to be at between 7 and 8 turns. So therefore, if we can continue to improve 2-3 turns every time, you would see us get even more capital efficient than what we have delivered in the past. Now, to your other question about overseas.
So this is a supplementary question on the working capital bit. You know, of this 20-odd day improvement, how much would you attribute to a change in vendor terms where you sort of renegotiated better terms and so on, and how much of it is because of internal efforts and better processes and focus and so on?
Great question. You know, I'll give you a statistical answer. If you took FY20, and if that is one frame of reference, our net working capital, which was 31 days, had 50 days of debtor days, 28 inventory days, 47 creditor days. As against 50 of debtor days in FY21, it was only 44. However, inventory, which was 28, has come down to 20. Creditor days, which was 47, is at 50. So the point I'm only trying to make here is I think we have managed every single parameter, be it, you know, what we call the DSO, whether it is the DPO or whether it is the DIO, all three have started to show good improvement. Particularly, it is more conspicuous on the inventory and on the receivable. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. To your other question, very quickly on the overseas, you know, I just want to tell you that as far as overseas is concerned for the full year, we've, yes, your point is valid that we have done well. But while we may have done much better in FY21, but if you look at whether it's the last 5 years or whether you look at the overseas since listing, it has always grown much faster, both in terms of top and bottom line as compared to India. So it has been quite good. And there are a few reasons. One, we continue to have the advantage of being a leader in the marketplace. So our ability to therefore negotiate, our ability to get the right allocation, etc., is something that we get into a slightly a higher privileged position as compared to some of the other distributors. The second is, I don't think there is any other distributor who has the product portfolio that we have, the sheer number of brands that we have, nor do they have the footprints that we have. This also helps us to be able to play those brands, those product categories, and those markets where we clearly see there is a competitive edge that we have that helps us to be able to make more margin and make more profit. The third element is we have invested, it may sound like a cliche, we have invested a lot over the last 10, 15 years on beefing up the system on one hand, and also we have some of the best people in the industry. So I think all these three things help us, and 10% of their compensation is fed to giving us profitable growth. If they give us profitable growth, they are laughing their way to the bank. So sometimes it's also about how you make sure that people are properly incentivized in order for us to be able to achieve our objectives. I don't know if that answered at least, a part of
it. So just one follow-up to that, does that mean it's sustainable? Because typically overseas has been half a percent to a percent lower than the domestic business. In the last 2-3 quarters, we've seen it at par with the domestic business. So does that mean now that overseas, this kind of profitability, as you mentioned, for a variety of reasons, is that now a sustainable level of profitability?
Okay, so the short answer is by and large, yes. But the point I want you to please keep in mind that what the kind of profits we can make, let's say in India, is not the same as what we make in every market in overseas. As you can imagine, what we make in Africa would be different than what we make in the Middle East, and even in the Middle East, what we can earn out of Saudi Arabia would be different than what we can earn out of UAE. So different markets offer different opportunities. The good part is we are quite nicely and well entrenched in most of these markets. So finally, profitability is also a measure of business mix, market mix, as well as making sure we have the right incentives. But your short answer to your question, by and large, yes.
Great, fantastic. Thank you so much and all the best for the coming year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead. Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question. Please unmute the line from your side. Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question. As there's no response, we take the next question from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. My first question is, regarding your growth outlook, for FY22. Now, of course, you are seeing a very good traction, but we have this second wave, which is kind of panning out. And globally also, there is an issue of chip shortages, which is leading to some supply chain issues for a lot of network equipments and even the laptops and PCs as well. So how, do you think that any of this issue can possibly derail the growth trajectory? That's my first question. Secondly, on ProConnect, can we say that, the previous growth rate of 25 to 30%, given that was a growth rate in the 3PL industry, that kind of will be achievable going forward with, 15% EBITDA margin? So that is second question. And thirdly, you talked about higher ROCE on the cloud business. Will that be higher margin-led ROCE or lower working capital requirement-led ROCE? Thank you.
as always, you come up with very sharp and intelligent questions. So on your first point, I think part of the answer is in your question. Is there a chip and a component shortage? Yes, there is. Is this likely to play out, in both this year and next year? It appears so. So to that extent, will there be a supply constraint? We believe so. And would there be, therefore, some impact to the business? We will have to evaluate that. But let me tell you, Pranav, even as we look at FY21, I can tell you 3 out of the 4 quarters, we did have serious supply constraints. But given that we are one of the leading distributors in the market, given that we have some of the best technology vendors for whom we represent in the market, it therefore gives us a great opportunity to be able to get, for want of better word, a lion's share of the products and hence take a decent share of the market as well. So all that I want you to keep in mind is, yes, we are mindful of the shortage, but we are trying our best to see how to navigate in these difficult circumstances and still try to deliver our numbers. I also want to share with you, while on the topic of PCs and a few other products, the prices have started to go up. So sometimes, even if on unit terms, there may or may not be growth, but on revenue terms, because the prices are firming up and the product is in demand, therefore, we believe that we can try and make up to whatever best extent possible. So this is as far as, the outlook is concerned.
Sir, just this one follow-up here. Does that also mean that your working capital days, can be reduced to an extent, because if there is a shortage and, you are the one who can provide it, then possibly you'll have a lower inventory days and possibly lower debtor days as well?
You are very right, Pranav. That's exactly what happened in Q4. Because the so-called vendor support in terms of extended credit terms and all of that, that got by and large discontinued by August of last year. So if you look at Q3 and more importantly Q4, this was on the regular or the standard payment terms and conditions. And therefore, we have been able to sort of make sure that we do smart buying. We have a very quick inventory turn. We are also able to have our focus on collections. Honestly, if there is one team or rather two that I particularly want to appreciate on this call, it is my logistics team who delivered under these most difficult circumstances. And the other is our collections team, who literally make sure that our collections happened on time every time. So that would be my quick response to you on this. Does that help, Pranav?
Thank you so much. This is very helpful. You may please answer.
So let me take the ProConnect question very quickly. Without attaching a particular number, all that I, as I said to the previous caller, we clearly have identified ProConnect and the logistics business as one clear strategic area for us. We will invest, we will grow, and you will see us accelerate. But please look at the fact that we want to be, doing better on margins. And you know this, that even in the past, barring FY20, our profits were better than most other players in the industry. We want to continue to be a premium logistics service provider, and therefore we will continue that path. But trust me, this is going to be a focus area we will invest, we will accelerate growth. Does that help, Pranav?
Yeah, very clear.
Okay, now to the last point about cloud. It will be a combination of both. So, which means the more services that we are able to attach to the cloud business, higher the margin proposition will be. And that is exactly where we are going to be invested. If you see in the next 3 years, we are going to scale up the managed services piece very aggressively. That's another important strategic area for us. Now, as we continue to do that, we believe therefore we should be able to manage our working capital better than what, what we have done in other businesses. So it will be a combination of higher margin as we attach more services and also, the fact that our working capital also will get better managed. So ROCE will be definitely very interesting.
Thank you so much. Really very helpful and all the very best for FY22. Thank you.
Thank you, Pranav.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a clarification. So in your P&L construct, we have both other income and interest, and now with 3,000 crore of cash on the balance sheet, is it that one of the line items should not reappear, or is that the cash lies in a different balance sheet and you would have need for operations all throughout the globe, so the need for shorter term capital? So just a clarification, if you could explain that part.
Krishnan, do you want to take that question, please?
Sure, I'll do that. See, there are two aspects to it. In the very initial period of the year during the lockdown, one of the conscious decisions that we have taken was to beef up the cash. We had three strategies as we had explained. One, to ensure better collections. Second, to make sure that we get extended credit from the vendor. Third is to utilize the limits that are available with the bank, and then keep enough cash if in case the first one and two doesn't work out, then we should have sufficient cash for contingency. And good luck for us, all three worked. And that has enabled we having more cash, even though there was a corresponding borrowing. So because of which we had to invest these funds in fixed deposits and mutual funds, and which is the reason why you see the other income. Having said that, for your question, can we completely take interest then away? That may not be the case, because on a steady state basis, there will obviously be working capital deployment in the business, for which this interest cost will be there. So, yes, this interest income may not be sustainable, but this interest cost, what we had shown, is something that would continue.
So, let's say at the scale of business that we are operating at about 57,000 crores, considering the revised working capital need that you mentioned, I was just doing a math, and we have about 3,000 crore on the cash in the balance sheet. Even if you scale back to your revised working capital needs of 30 days, you ideally don't require incremental capital for the scale of business that you are today. Obviously, if the scale of business is going up, and at the 30 days, there will be some need of working capital. So the question here is that the interest cost that you are incurring is not the interest cost incrementally that should flow into the P&L, is the question.
Yeah, it may not be incremental. So let me put it this way. In the past, our interest cost as a percentage of revenue used to be at about 0.5 to 0.6%. But if you see in the last 1 year, it is at 0.3 to 0.4%. So that's the way it has got brought down. And also the fact that since we are present in multiple markets, there are some floats that are required
in terms of managing the operations. That also we should consider.
Okay. And my second and the last question is on the growth outlook side. Naturally, this year also was a year which was beneficial to a lot of categories that we operate, and a similar situation does seem to appear in the forthcoming year. However, when we were giving out a growth outlook of, let's say, a single-digit growth for the industry and, let's say, a slightly higher growth for us, 2 to 3 percentage point growth higher for us, do you think that the factors which drove the growth last year are the factors quite similar this year, and hence the growth could be slightly superior to what we initially think?
Okay. That's the way I want you to think about growth is, last year we honestly were left to, what we would call as the VUCA world. The volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous world. Completely, we didn't know what is this COVID all about. Not that we know too much today, but at least we are aware about some of its menace. So we are much better prepared today than we were 1 year ago. So all that I can say is, but if we are prepared, so is the vendor, so is competition, so is everybody else. So we clearly, I repeat myself, what I said to an earlier caller, that as long as there is a growth in a product category in a market, we will outperform that category, that market for sure. That's very clearly our stated objective. And so you can probably put your mind to rest. I don't want you to think in terms of, whether it will be more or superior, etc. If there is an opportunity, Redington will capture that opportunity without a doubt. We are extremely well placed. We have become smarter as a company. We have learned a lot from this pandemic. So I can tell you, we are looking at FY22 and beyond with a higher sense of confidence, but at the same time, we are also being cautious.
Okay. Okay. This was helpful, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Shankar for closing comments.
So once again, thanks to everyone for joining us on the call today. As I said, this was one of the best years or the best year in the history of Redington. In every which way you look at it, whether it is financial ratios, whether it is profitable growth, whether it is capital efficiency, or whether it's about free cash flow, in every sense of the word, every theater did extremely well. But I also must tell you, my heart reaches out to so many people beyond Redington and also at Redington, who has been impacted on account of this pandemic. It has been quite deadly. It is a tragedy of sorts. So in closing, while we are extremely happy and very proud about what we have delivered last year, as also the dividend of 60% that we have announced, I request all of you to please stay safe, stay positive, and stay home. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Redington India Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.